Parshas Achrimos usually gets overlooked when it's lumped together with Parshas Kedoshim, because if you had to choose which one's more exciting, I think most of us would choose Parshas Kedoshim. It's got mitzvahs in it, exciting mitzvahs, detailed mitzvahs. While Parshas Achrimos seems to be a little not as exciting, but there's some many, many important lessons to be learned from Parshas Achrimos as well. An interesting lesson that is a great sell if you ever have to speak at a Shabbat Sheva Brachas or a Sheva Brachas, and you don't really have what to say because you don't really know the people, or you don't really have anything that positive to say about them, whatever the case may be. It's a beautiful idea from Rav Moshe Sternberg in this week's, last week's parasha. It points out that the only job that we find in Judaism that you can't do unless you're married is to be the Kohen Gadol. You could be a Kohen Hedget, you could be a Rosh Hashiva, you could do anything you want, but you can't be a Kohen Gadol if you're not married. It's a very unique job. The Kohen Gadol has it tonight. He can only be Kohen Gadol if he's married. And that's why the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Yuma. We were afraid what would happen if his wife dies, so we'd have a backup wife, the Mishnah tells us in Yuma. So Moshe Sternberg says, you see from over here how important a wife is. The most important person in Klal Yisrael can't do the most important job without his most important partner, without a wife. So says Moshe Sternberg, this is a raya against what people say about Judaism. People say Judaism views women as second-class citizens. So look at this, it's exactly the opposite. You see, the Kohen Gadol on his own can't go anywhere. A Kohen Gadol to be the greatest member of society going to the Lefnai Lefnim on Yom Kippur, he's not allowed in if he doesn't have a wife. So what is the Torah really telling us, says Rav Moshe Sternbach? The Torah is telling us how valuable they are, not the opposite. They're so essential to who we are that the Kohen Gadol can function as the representation of Klal Yisrael, of all of us, unless he has a better half, a spouse, a wife there to complete him, then he's ready to obtain Slicha v'Kapara for the rest of us. Such an important lesson. We've mentioned this, Rabbi Soloveitchik has a similar idea. He says, why is a lady not allowed to be a melech? He says, oh, it's because people think women are second-class citizens. He says exactly the opposite. We have a principle called Kavud Bas Melech Panima. We treasure our women. We don't want to expose them out there. We don't want them to be out for everyone to see and to talk about. That's why we don't let them be a melech. Not because we don't value them. So here also, the Torah is giving value and chashivas to our spouses that we have to realize how important they are. Because we cannot do whatever we want without them. There was once a businessman that was interviewed, a Frum guy. A very, very successful businessman. He said every good business deal he made, he spoke to his wife about it first. And any business deal that failed, he didn't speak to his wife about it first. Now, I don't know if his wife is an expert in business, but we all know from our own lives that very often in life, things that we bounce off of our spouses who know us the best. I can tell you my own life, the most important decisions that I got right or wrong were usually based on my wife's advice or not. So I saw a beautiful idea from Rebekht, the Rosh Yeshiva of Detroit, Zatzal. He says, that's pshat, why a chassid is called a melech. He says, you know why a chassid is called a melech? Because now he has someone to talk over things with. He says, what's the definition of a king? A king is somebody who always is shaylates by other people. He asks other people what to do. The great leaders know who to align themselves with. Smart people. So he says, that's why a chassid is daim lemelech. Now all of a sudden he has someone to speak things over with. He says, that's pshat nadav aviyu. We talked about in the beginning of this week's parish also. Nadav aviyu, one of the tainas on them they had was loinoytel etzel zemizeh. They didn't consult with anyone. They did what they want. Says Reb Bakst, when you don't consult with people, you end up in trouble. You have to consult with people. Sometimes you have to consult with someone who knows business. Sometimes you have to consult with someone who knows halacha. Someone who knows experience. Someone who has experience. Sometimes your spouse, because they know you better than anyone else. They know what makes you tick, and they don't get you upset. They know your strength, and they know your weaknesses. So therefore, says Rav Bakst, that's why chassid is daim lemelech. He's compared to a melech, because now he's going to start asking people what to do. Instead of just doing whatever he wants, without asking permission, without getting advice, he's now going to start to ask advice from his better half. A very good drasha, if you ever presented with a Sheva Brachas drasha. Nonetheless, moving on in the parasha, there's really a very important lesson which is very relevant to what's going on in the world today. The beginning of the parasha, the Torah talks about the passing of Aaron's two sons, and right after that, the Torah goes in to the Avodas Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi tells us in the beginning of Maseches Yuma that Lama Nismacha Misas Aaron Nadav Aviu Le Avodas Yom Kippurim Loi Malach. Just like Yom Kippur is Mechaper, so to Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper. There's a special power that when a tzaddik passes, his death leaves a kapara for Klal Yisrael. Says the Meshech Chachma, the great Rav Meir Simcha, he says, let's analyze this for a second. Yom Kippur is not a magic trick. You don't just show up on the 10th day of Tishrei, and all of a sudden all your sins are forgiven. You have to prepare, you have to work, you have to grow, and you have to improve. And then, together with Yom Kippurim, our slicha, our averus could be forgiven. Says Rav Meir Simcha, the great Meshech Chachma, same thing with Mises Tzadikim. It's not a magic trick that if a tzaddik dies, automatically our averus are forgotten. It's that when a tzaddik dies and we learn from their life, and we learn and we grow from them, then our averus nimchal. It has to be that we took something, a message was taken, a lesson was learned from their lives, then with their passing, a kapara can be obtained. I know it seems like it was months ago, but not a little bit more than a week ago, there was a horrific shooting in a shul in California. And only one person died. That's the way the media tells you. Only one person died. We know one Jewish life is enough Jewish life to be killed. But one person died. One woman died. And I believe her death is a Mises Tzadikim. Why? Because let's look at her life. She died protecting other Yidden. She got up to save the rabbi. That was her whole intention. She was trying to save the Rav. When a person dies protecting other Yidden, that's something we have to learn from. And if we do learn from that, then her death wasn't just merely a terrorist attack in a shul in California. It has the ability to be mechaber just like Yom HaKippur. It's amazing to have Yom Kippur in the summer without the fast and without the davening, without all that. We can obtain slicha v'kapara if we grow from what happened. If we take a step back and analyze what happened in that shul a little bit more than a week ago, where a person got up and decided she was going to protect another Yid. And it's amazing. If you looked at the whole story that happened on that day and you read it, all the reports, there was a tzad hashava that took place in that shul. Every person in that shul was thinking about someone else. The rabbi was thinking about the little kids in the shul. She was thinking about the rabbi. Everyone was thinking about someone else. No one was thinking about how can I get to safety and forget everyone else. And there was another shooting that took place last week in a college campus, I believe in North Carolina. And I heard an interview from one of the people that were there. And they interviewed him. They said, what was your thoughts? He said, my only thought was how I can get out and how I can be safe. And when I'm safe, I'll see how my family is doing, how my friends are doing. The exact opposite thought process than a Yid. A Yid doesn't think, okay, let me get safe and then I'll see what I... No. Again, I'm not getting into the halacha, the chai bahem. It's a complicated sugya. But just to learn from people that are willing to give up their lives, willing to jump in the middle of a fire, in the middle of a gun, to protect another Yid, that's what we need to learn from. And if we do learn from it, says Rav Meir Simcha, then we can obtain slicha v'kapara from this woman's death. Her death was not just merely based on hatred and terror. We as Yidden can grow from it and we can obtain slicha v'kapara. And I think, if you read the reports, what happened on that day was really a miracle, because much, much more damage should have happened. But when Klal Yisrael acts like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles. When Klal Yisrael goes out of their comfort zone and does not think about themselves and he thinks about others, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles. The Ramban writes at the end of Parashas Bo, that Al Pi Derech HaTeva, Klal Yisrael should have never gotten out of Mitzrayim. It made absolutely no sense. They should have been there forever. Paro was so strong, so powerful. Al Pi Derech HaTeva, they should have been there forever. How did we get out? Says Rabbi Yochanan Moshe in the Sefer. You know how we got out? It's because Klal Yisrael went out of their comfort zone and they cared about other people. And he writes, when we were in Mitzrayim, and we were all in a very bad place. We were all tired, and we all had no money, and we all had no energy. But we were mechazik each other. We'd give each other encouragement. And he says, we used to share the bread with each other. The little bread that we had, we'd share with another Yid. He says, that's why we say halach ma'anya. This bread that we're remembering, that the mesiras nefesh of this bread is what we're commemorating. That's when Nisim happened. Miracles take place when Klal Yisrael decides not to live for themselves, but to live for others, to give for others, to be there for others. That's how we become Am Yisrael, and that's how we merit to see unbelievable miracles. And that's how we got out of Mitzrayim, says Yeruch HaMoshe. That Mesiras Nefesh, to give to another Yid, to put Yid before us, is how we left Mitzrayim. And I think it's worth mentioning, if we mentioned this many times, the famous story with Rav Gusman. I mentioned it, but it's worth again mentioning. Rav Gusman lost a son in the Holocaust. He had him and his daughter and his wife survived, but he lost a son in the Holocaust. In 1980, Professor Yisrael Alman lost a son also in battle in Eretz Yisrael. And he used to come to Rav Gusman's shiurim. So Rav Gusman went to be Menachem Avraham. When he went to be Menachem Avraham, Rav Gusman asked him, is it okay if I sit shiva with you? I never had a chance to sit shiva for my son. He died in my arms. And I never had a chance to sit shiva. Can I sit shiva a little bit with you for my son? So the professor said, of course. And in the middle of that time, Rav Gusman told him a very important yisoid. Rav Gusman said, I want you to know my son died because he was Jewish. That's the only reason why the Nazis killed him. He was Jewish. He didn't do anything wrong. He was 5 years old. So he's a Kaddish. But he says, you know, your son is Kodesh Kadosh. Do you know why? Because he didn't just die because he was Jewish. He died protecting Klal Yisrael. He died fighting for Klal Yisrael, protecting another Yid. Says Rav Gusman, that's Kodesh Kadosh. He says, that's a whole different level. When a Yid dies protecting another Yid, you're a whole different level. As I said, Rav Gusman. So I think it's very much relevant to what we saw last week. Yidden dying protecting another Yid. It's amazing. And it happens every day in Eretz Yisrael. We have an army based of Yidden that are protecting every single day, fighting for other Yidden. That's what they're doing. They're not doing it for any other reason. They're protecting other Yidden. Says Rav Gusman, when a person gives up his life to protect another Yid, he's Kodesh Kadosh. So based on that, so this woman is, she's a tzaddik. There's no question. even though she lived a very righteous life. It's not even the discussion. She was very, very giving to the shul, and she gave a lot of money. She was very helpful. Forget all that. But the way she died, she's a tzaddik. She died protecting Klal Yisrael, protecting another yid. Says of Gusman, that's Kodesh Kadosh. So if we grow from their lives and we learn from their lives, then it's Taka Mechaper, as opposed to just being another tragedy that we can blame on gun control. It's something we as yidden can grow from. And perhaps that's also an important message when we're focusing now on Yom HaShoah just passed and people are commemorating the Holocaust. I think that's a very important element to commemorate of the Holocaust. Many yidden that were suffering put other yidden before themselves. There's numerous stories of yidden that the little bread they have, they shared it. Or the little coat that they had, they shared. Whatever they had, they shared with other yidden. I think that's the gevurah of the Yom HaShoah. Yidden that had so little, nothing, in such horrible situations, but they shared whatever they had, they gave it to someone else. They put someone else first. The stories of yidden that used to hold up other yidden during the roll calls so they shouldn't fall down and be shot by the Nazis. Because stories and stories and stories about yidden who are moisin nefesh to give back to other yidden. That's who we are as a nation. That's mikam chol Yisrael. That's what we are. And it's at this time during Sfira when we're working on this, because as the Gemara tells us, Tamidei Rebbe Akiva had a little bit of a breach in this attitude of sholoi nagu kavod zeh lazeh. The Mashal learns it means they were very self-absorbed. And many yeshiva bachim are very self-absorbed. They're only about their own learning. It's all about me. It's not about anyone else. So we have to go out of our comfort zone and think about others. I'm not asking anyone to take a bullet. We should never have to take a bullet. But we can go beyond our comfort zone and do a lot for others without even realizing it. We can daven for other people. If we know people are suffering, daven for them. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't take too much time. Think about them in your davening. You say Shema Kaleinu. Think about people that you know that have tzaras. You know specific people, families, relatives, friends. So have them in mind. Say a kapitel tehillim for them. Think about them. And more than anything, again, we can't always write out a check and solve all the world's problems. We can always be a listening ear. A listening ear goes very far. That's what Ruchem Olshem said, that's what we did in Mitzrayim. When we were complaining, we just listened to each other's horror stories of who lost family and who was painful. And that's, I'm sure, what happened in the Holocaust. You didn't just sat there and listen to other Yidden stories. That is the greatest therapy, just to be a good listening ear. And that doesn't cost any money. It takes a little time. You have to have some patience. But it doesn't cost too much money. And perhaps that's the connection to why what we're focusing on this day, and as well as the connection to Yom HaShoah. But again, as we believe, Chazal tells us, "Benisim asidim legol." Rav Moshe Feinstein used to cry whenever he got Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because he said Mashiach didn't come. So we believe it. The Gemara tells us it's going to happen. We have to believe it. Hopefully, this should be the year. Right? We turn on the news, we see what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's horrific. It's terrible. No rockets and this and that and the other. You can't get a break. Everywhere we turn, America's not safe and Eretz Yisrael's not safe. Where are we going to turn? Where's the Yeshua going to come from? So if you don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in the afterworld, it's a very scary world. But for us, Maminim, we're not so worried. We know, because Baruch has a master plan. He's going to send the Yeshua, he's going to send Mashiach. So we're a little bit, it's a little easier for us to deal with the craziness of the world. But if you're a non-believing person, it's a very scary world. America is scary. Judaism in America is scary. Eretz Yisrael is scary. It's a scary world we live in. Right? So therefore, that's why we as Yidden believe that Benisim Asidim L'Gol. It's going to be one of these Nisans. We hope and we pray it's this Nisan. So we don't have to face another year in the Golos. But we hope it's going to be this Nisan. But we believe, Chazal tells us, Benisim Asidim L'Gol. We believe Chazal. So therefore, perhaps that's why we read Achrimos, maybe even during this time, to remind us of this important lesson of Misa Tzadikim. Tach V'tat happened during this time. 1648, 1649, Chmelnytsky destroyed Jewish communities. The numbers are supposedly 500,000 Yidden were killed. In 1600s, that was a big deal. It wasn't like today we have so many Yidden. 500, that was a tragedy that took place right now. That's why we set up a rachamim on Shabbos, even though normally we wouldn't on Shabbos. We're commemorating. But those Yidden that died, their death shouldn't just be in vain. We should grow from them. When we grow from them and we learn from them and we want to live like them, then their passing is a misa tzadikim, is a mechaperis. We can obtain slicha v'kapara. It's a very, very special idea that we can obtain slicha v'kapara in the passing of others. I just saw there's already three casualties of people that were killed in the bombings in Eretz Yisrael over the last day or so. So these people that died, they're dying because they were Jewish. That's why they were being killed. That's why the Arabs don't like them. So when we can learn and grow from their lives, and I think it's worthwhile studying their lives. That's why I like to study the biographies of Gedolim. You read their lives, you can learn from them. When we study and we grow from the lives of those who have passed, and those who have given up their lives because they're Jewish, or to save Jews, then we ourselves can obtain Slicha V'Kapara. We can improve our lives, and we can become better people. Pesach is a very busy time, and Pesach is a very expensive time. People have a lot of things on their mind before Pesach, and they're very concerned about a lot of things. They want to make sure the Seder is beautiful. They want to make sure that they have all that they need. But it's even more remarkable when people can find the time before Pesach to think about others. I'm not talking about Moschitim, but when people can give back and collect and spend time giving back to a Magid Shir that they feel connection to, I think is remarkable. I think it really shows what your priorities are, what's important to you, and what you value. I, in return, am very grateful, my wife, my family as well, for the kindness and the graciousness that all of you gave and partook in our campaign that is ran by Michael. Michael decided to show up early today, so we can't talk about him. Okay. Sure. So we'll have to talk a different time about him when he's not around. But in any case, it's not a simple thing to give money.
No, plenty of time. Plenty of opportunities.
It's not easy. Everyone has a lot of things on their head before Pesach, but to spend time and to consciously ensure that there was a fund, a campaign ran before Pesach to give me a thoughtful gift, a very gracious and generous gift, is very appreciative. Hakaras HaTayiv is something that's very important. We speak about it very often. I wish I can properly express my Hakaras HaTayiv in the way that's deserving of what I received, myself and my family. It just means a lot to me. I was very touched. And I hope that we should only continue to grow together in learning. We should share in simchas together. We should continue to learn. And it's a bracha when a person can open up their wallet and give to others. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that as a show of Emunah, means you believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzvah Hashem. Those that give should be blessed, as Chazal tell us. Those who give are continuously blessed. Mitzvah Hashem, we should continue to grow together and only share in Simchas together for many, many more years. Amen. If anyone remembers what we're up to, that'd be a bigger Chiddush. Okay, so I think I remember we're a little bit what we're up to. We're holding over here, and Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph from Masechet Shabbos. Okay, we're holding over here. If we remind ourselves, we'll go back a little bit. We had a sugya where we had a machloikis tanoim if machshirei mila is deiche Shabbos, which means, am I allowed to do the preparatory needs for the mila before Shabbos? Am I allowed to make the knife and buy the knife, things like that? That's machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabban. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, the Rabbanan say no. So the Gemara by us over here, number one, starts off like this: Ella hainu taimed Rabbi Eliezer. How does Rabbi Eliezer know that machshirei mila deiche Shabbos? If you remember, we had about an omen and a half of Gemara. The Gemara tried to figure out where Rabbi Eliezer learns it from. We tried Sukkah and Lulav and Matzah and Shteyal Lechem and the Karban Oyim. We went through a lot of these different sugyas. At the end of the Gemara says it's Pashit. He learns it from the Pasuk, Ubeyoy Mashmini Yimo Basar Olase. It says in the Torah that he's supposed to give a bris on the eighth day, Vafilo B'Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer learns his Shita of Machshirei Mila Deiche Shabbos from the Pasuk of Ubeyoy Mashmini Afilo B'Shabbos. So the obvious question on this drasha is that talking about the mila itself, or that's talking about the machshirei mila? Which one? If I have one pasuk in the Torah, the pasuk tells me, do a mila on Shabbos. Does that mean the actual mila? We've spent already many shurim discussing why can't mila take place on Shabbos without a special heter? What violation would it be? Which malacha would it be? But clearly it would be violated, it wouldn't be allowed. So the question is, what does the top pasuk mean over here? The Torah says, do a mila on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos. Do what? Is that the actual mila, or that's the preparatory requirements to the mila? So Rashi learns over here, it's important Rashi, look Rashi. Umila gufa didachi Shabbos, amina lekaman alocha moshim esina isolei, alocha moshim esina. Zok Rashi, no, this pasuk is not talking about the mila itself. This pasuk is just talking about the machshirei. Ubiyoy mashmina afilu b'Shabbos doesn't mean I'm allowed to do the mila on Shabbos. Ubiyoy mashmina afilu b'Shabbos means I'm allowed to do the machshirei mila on Shabbos. I'm allowed to go buy a knife and go to the store and take wood and make a knife and do all these malachas. That's mutter on Shabbos. Why? Because Iser lo b'yoyim l'machshirei. Because Rabbi Eliezer is going to learn from a different place that the mila itself is deicha Shabbos. He's going to learn from halach l'moshim esinai. So if it's learned from halach l'moshim esinai, I know it already. So then what is the pasuk coming to tell me? U'b'yoyim eshmini. What's it teaching me? It must be teaching me mila u'machshirei. It's not teaching me the actual mila, because the actual mila I already learned from halach l'moshim esinai. Instead, it must be telling me that I'm allowed to do the machshirei. So the Maram has a kash. The Maram says, if I had to choose, I have a pasuk and a halacha l'moshim esinai. So which one would I have chosen? I would have chosen the pasuk to tell me the mila and the halacha l'moshim esinai to tell me the machshirei. That's what I would have chosen, right? Because what's the bigger chiddush? The bigger chiddush is that machshirei mila deiches Shabbos. So what would I have assumed is the Torah relaying to me? The Torah is relaying to me the more pashtus thought process, which is the mila is deiches Shabbos. So frek the Maram on Rebbe Eliezer, why is it that according to Rebbe Eliezer comes to something very interesting? The pasuk in the Torah is talking about machshirei. The halacha l'moshim esinai is talking about the mila. I would have reversed it. I would have learned that the pasuk is talking about the mila atzmai, and the machshirei is halacha l'moshim esinai. Why is it this way? As a frek the Maram, he asks as a kasha on Rebbe Eliezer. But what's negeh to us, according to Rashi, and this is going to be important as we get into the next sugya, according to Rashi, the pasuk of Yom HaShemini is not used l'mila atzma, it's used l'machshirei mila. So learns Rashi. Comes along the Ritva, number three, and the Ritva says not like that. The Ritva is a kasha. Vim toimar. The Dilma Mila Dafka Machshirei Minolon. Frank the Ritva, I don't understand this whole Gemara. What was the Gemara's point? The Gemara was trying to prove to me that Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Milo Deiches Shabbos. Says the Gemara, how do you know it? From the pasuk of Yoyim Hashmini Yimol B'Sar Alos. Frek the Ritva, how do you see anything about Machshirei in that pasuk? Maybe that pasuk is talking about the Milo itself. This is the same kasha that Rashi had. Rashi had the same kasha. And because of this kasha, Rashi said, no, the Mila itself I learned from Halacha Mishnah Mishnah. So this pasuk is open. Oh, if it's open, what must it be telling me? Oh, it must be telling me the Machshirei. The Ritva didn't assume like that, so the Ritva has a kasha. If I only had one pasuk in the Torah, Ubiyoy Mashmini Afilu B'Shabbos, what's the pasuk telling me? So says the Ritva, the assumption would be the Mila itself. So how do I learn Machshirei? So says the Ritva, V'yeshloim the Kamila Arichta. Talk to Ritva, not like Rashi. Rashi learned, I have two separate drushes. One is for the Mila and one's for the Machshirin. Says the Ritva, no. Machshirin is one long process of the Mila. So once the Torah is matter the Mila, it's matter the Machshirin as well. Now this is a svara we've spoken a lot about in this parak. Rishonim use this all over. That Machshirin is kemila arichta damye. What does it really mean in English? What it means in English is that when the Torah says do Mila on Shabbos, the Torah says make it happen whatever it takes. That's what the Torah says. When the Torah says Afilu b'Shabbos, it means you got to have a final result product of a meal on Shabbos. If it takes you driving to the store, drive to the store. If it takes you going to Home Depot and buying wood, do it. Because we want the final result. Therefore, Zok the Ritva, I don't need two separate drushes. If the Torah says Mila can take place on Shabbos, it means the Torah says you do whatever you got to do to take Mila take place on Shabbos. The Mela included in that is all the prep that I need to make the Mila take place on Shabbos. Oh, good. That's what I want to get to. Good. So that's what you see from the Ritva. You see from the Ritva, Chiddush, that Machshirin are included in the Mila, which means, the way we explained it many times, what that means is that the Torah cares about the end result. So Frecht over here, the Sefer, the Minchas Ariel, is a contemporary Achron. He says, whoa, 1 second. How do you say that without Exeris HaKosef? Bishlama, after the Torah is Mechadish Machshirin Mila, and you want to know what's the lumdus behind it. So I'll tell you the lumdus. The Machshirin is Kamila Arichta Damye. But here, what's going on in our Gemara? We have one pasuk in the Torah, and all the Torah tells me is do Mila on Shabbos. And you're concluding that means even the Machshirin. Oh, because of alumnus, the Machshirin is a chelik of the Mila. Who told you that? If I had a pasuk in the Torah that told me Machshirin Mila Deiches Shabbos, and now I got to figure out why on earth it is that way, so I'll tell you alumnus, Kemila Arichta Damye. But we're going before that. We're going that we have only one pasuk in the Torah, B'yayim Hashemin Afilu B'Shabbos. We got to figure out what does the Torah want. So says the Ritva, the Torah means both things. How do you know that? So he writes that this
number. Can you build a sukkah on sukkahs?
According to Eliezer, yeah. Right, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Mitzvah. Right, because that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that all Machshirei Mitzvah. So we spoke about it. So initially, one of his rayas. So if we remember Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph and Amud before what we're up to now, he learned that one of his mekayrus was sukkah. The Gemara said sukkah is a pircha. The Gemara gave a different pircha, not your pircha. The Gemara gave a different pircha by sukkah. So the question is, would the Ritva apply this to all mitzvahs? I don't know.
You have to have shalosh shuvah. See, I'm nothing in your house. You're going to the car.
Right. According to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, that's what you'd be allowed to do. Now, what? No, he said it by sukkah. He said it by Rosh Hashanah. He said it by lulav. He said it by matzah. He said it by mila. Those are the five places at least we came across so far in the Masechta where he says this din.
You cut the lulav down on.
Yeah. That's what he holds. That's what Rabbi Eliezer holds.
Is there din in trying to do it beforehand?
So Taisus in the beginning of the parak told us no. We had a Yerushalmi in the beginning of the parak. That Taisus told us. That's right. You could do it. At least according to Rabbi Eliezer. We don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. But Taisus makes this comment from Yerushalmi. That Taisus says that even if you could have done it before, you don't have to. And we spoke about this. We said over a nice piece from Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Mishnah Sir Baron. How are you supposed to explain that? What do you mean? If I had it, I'm sitting. Right, the Moyle's sitting Friday afternoon doing absolutely nothing. And he can go get the knife. Says Taisus, no, don't bother. He'll get it Shabbos morning. What's going on over here? So we spoke. There was a Baron Cutler, all you say, because that's goof of the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that that everything's supposed to take place on Shabbos. It doesn't have to take place before. But that's what Taisus Shita is. Taisus says there's no need to take it earlier. So the question is, can we say Mila Arichta before there's Exeris HaKosef? So the Minchas Ariel assumes not. He writes over number four. He says, V'svaru zu huskru b'rishayim b'reish pirkin. This svar of Mila Arichta is mentioned already in the Rishayim, the beginning of the Perek, to l'chein ein tzarech l'shanas machshirim. The Rishayim all had a cash in the beginning of this Perek. We spoke about it. Why don't you just do a shinoi? The Mishnah starts off, you got to figure out how to get the knife to the baby. So the question is, how do you bring the knife to the baby, bring the baby to the knife? All discussion. Frecht all the Rishayim. Why don't you just do it with a shin? It's only the Rabbanon. Carry the knife in your armpit. It would only be in this the Rabbanon. You have no problems. So it says the Rishayim, no, because you don't have to. Just like you don't do a shin in the Mila, No one says, well, the moyel should use his left hand when he cuts the oil off, right? But Shabbos, you have to do a shinu. Teretz says it was hutra. It's mutter. So if the meal is mutter, the machshir is mutter. It's one big package. So it says Rishon. However, says the Minchas Siri Lach Devreim Yeshloim Medizeh Omar. You could tell me lom this all you want after you have exeris hakas, after the Torah was mechadish that machshir emila dechaz Shabbos. You want to know why? I'll tell you the why. But then we say kimila richt avol b'ridva zechidish. Duhu kamar lo af lule dekra al machshirim. This ridva is going before I have a pasuk. The ridva is going, I don't know anything about machshir emila. I have one pasuk in the Torah about mila, and I'm going to learn that from that two ideas. I'm going to learn that mila is deicha Shabbos, I'm going to learn that machshirim is deicha Shabbos. Whoa, with alumnus of kimila richt adami. So I would say a simple pshat in the ridva. Don't be so alumnus. The ridva means like this. The ridva means that the Torah is matir mila, whatever you need to do to get the mila to happen. That's it. That's the lumnus of machshirim. If that's the lumnus of machshirim, then it's not such a shver kasha. The Torah says, I want milas to happen on Shabbos. However they need to happen, they have to happen. Now you'll say, maybe not. Maybe the Torah means I want milas to happen, and all you need to do is that one cut. Everything else you do before Shabbos. Okay, maybe not. That's perhaps the chiddush of the ritva. Maybe that's why Rashi argues on the ritva. Right? Rashi stayed very clear of this pshat. Rashi made it very clear that there's two separate psukim. One pasuk if it's machshirin, and one pasuk if it's the actual mila. Why didn't Rashi learn the ritva? Because of the kasha of the minchas ha'aril. He thought it's shver. How can you learn out machshirin mila before you have a pasuk for machshirin mila? But perhaps the ritva thought differently. The ritva thought that machshirin mila is basically the Torah's way of saying, I want a final result outcome. You make it happen. You do whatever you got to do to make it happen. If that requires you to do malacha, so you do malacha. I need to find the result. If that's the lamas of machshirim mila, so then it's not so shver to understand how you can learn it out, even though there's no specific pasuk for machshirim mila day
chesed shams. So back to Rashi, the reason why he chose the halacha of Sinai from Gufa and not machshirim is because we also like the Rambam, there is no machlokas by halacha of machshirim.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit more about halacha of machshirim mila in a little bit. We'll get to the Gemara. We'll talk about it. We'll see how this all works out. Yeah, blin eder. So let's start. Okay, this was an intro to the sugya that was supposed to start today. Let's start today's Gemara. Zog to Gemara. At kam pligi rabban aleo elo b'machshirei mila. We spent about two blot in the Gemara with the machlokes rabban and Rabbi Eliezer is machshirei mila deicha Shabbos. Is getting the knife ready, the preparatory work, is that deicha Shabbos. Zog to Gemara, that's only the machlokes by the machshirin. Avo mila gufa, but actually performing the mila, divrei hakol deicha Shabbos. Everyone agrees that mila is deicha Shabbos. Who told the Rabbanan that Mila's Deicha Shabbos? So what's everyone thinking?
The Pasuk.
The Pasuk. What happened to B'yei Mashmini? It was good enough for Rabbi Eliezer, maybe. Why can't this be good enough for the Rabbanan? This top Gemara that we start off with is three lines above this Gemara. It's not even so long ago that we can already forget the Gemara. I don't understand. The Gemara comes with a kasha. Who told the Rabbanan that Mila's Deicha Shabbos? What do you mean, who told the Rabbanan? It's a Pasuk in the Chumash. Says the eighth day. So why can't it mean Afilu b'Shabbos? So let's see what the Gemara does answer. Even more exciting. So the Gemara Amaula Halacha. It's Halacha Meishim Sinai. Don't ask any kashas. Mila is Deicha Shabbos not because of any pasuk, not because of any svara. It's Halacha Meishim Sinai. Kach Kibalti Sinai. That Mila is Deicha Shabbos. V'chein Amar Bitzchak Halacha. It's Halacha Meishim Sinai. So the obvious kasha should be: is why do I need Halacha Meishim Sinai for this? Why can't I learn enough from Mubiyay Mashmini? Now let's go back. This should be totally the machlokes Rashi in the Ritva. According to Rashi, for some reason, we don't know why, B'yayim HaShmini was not the pasuk that taught me Mila Zeicha Shabbos. It was only from this Halacha Meishim Sinai. So even in Rebbe Eliezer's world, he wasn't comfortable with learning from B'yayim HaShmini. Yesh Ladan, why? We have to know why. But he wasn't. But according to the Ritva, it's going to be really shver. Because according to the Ritva, B'yayim HaShmini was the pasuk that taught me Mila Zeicha Shabbos. So if that was the pasuk that taught Rebbe Eliezer Mila Zeicha Shabbos, why couldn't it be the exact same pasuk to teach the Rabbanan as well?
But with Shabbos, you have an Asay and Los Asay, right? Ushmeratim is the Shabbos.
Yeah.
So is it Asay and Mila Dok and Asay and Los Asay?
No, that's not.
So then why would I think that the pasuk of B'yayim HaShmini is...
Because that's Kufa why it's a Chiddush. If you're going to play
that...
But you don't. If you have Asay Dok HaLos Asay, you don't need to come on to Chiddushay HaKra. You're right, but that's if I'm playing that card. But if I'm playing the Xeris HaKasav card, then all bets are off.
Then
you wouldn't have to come onto it. If I have a special Xeris HaKasav, that's part of the kasha. Of why do I need a special Xeris HaKasav? Why can't I play the old-fashioned rules of Asay Deicha Leis Asay? That's what the Gemara discussed in Yevamos at length. When do you use the Xeris HaKasav? When do you just apply the regular rules? So over here, we'd have a special Xeris HaKasav. Now, you could argue, Well, B'yayim HaShmini doesn't teach him afilu b'Shabbos. B'yayim HaShmini just means during the week. And on Shabbos, you figure it out. You go through Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch says, Mila b'Shabbos is a violation of Chavallah, Kaitzer, whatever the Pshatim we mentioned in the past. But that's the Kasha. So Taisus and Psachim in number 6, and Avsam HaChesam at Beis, seems to bavon this Kasha. Taisus writes, the Omar Hasa, Mila v'chom achshirah adoichas HaShabbos divir b'liazer, and then the next piece of Gemara says, what type of kasha is the Gemara asking Minolan? Why can't you learn from the same pasuk where Rebbe Elazar learned the kroy? You always need to have two psukim. Lamila ulamachshirah ketipirashna. So what is Taisus' answer really? Like we said in Rashi, if you always have to have two separate psukim, one for the mila and one for the machshirin, so we don't really find anyone who learned out from Ubiyay Mashmina afilu b'Shabbos. Rebbe Eliezer didn't do that. Rebbe Eliezer only learned out machshirin. So therefore, says Taisus, you see clearly that that's not a viable option. Now it doesn't answer the question, why is it not a viable option? But it's not a kasha, well, just copy Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer himself didn't do that. But that's only if you learn like Rashi and Taisus himself. But let's say you learn like the Ritva. If you don't like the Ritva, Rebbe Eliezer did it. So if Rebbe Eliezer did it, why can't the Rabban copy Rebbe Eliezer from Ubiyay Mashmin Afilu B'Shabbos? So they say over from the Tzlach. The Tzlach says that the two Gemaras, they were put together on the page, but they weren't learned in the same place at the same time. When they were asking on the Rabban didn't hear of Rebbe Eliezer's drasha Ubiyay Mashmin Afilu B'Shabbos. The way we have it in the Gemara, it says it's a glaring kash. Rebbe Eliezer just got finished telling you that Milas Deich HaShabbos, and now you ask why the Rabbanon? That's because we put the Gemara like that. When the Gemara was taught, the Rabbanon were in one base marriage and who knows where, Rebbe Eliezer was in another base marriage, and the two conversations never crossed paths. So it's not a kasha, why didn't the Rabbanon say like Rebbe Eliezer? They were unaware of what Rebbe Eliezer said. That's the way that Tzlach wants to answer the kasha. Yeah?
Just in general, how does that work out according to Taisus?
Yeah?
No, no.
Yeah, according to
Taisus then?
100%, right. Right. The Ritva argues, right. The Ritva's going to argue on Taisus and Tzmach Lekis Mishaynim.
How does this work according to Taisus? Is that always true for you always need to you nobody. Only learn out one
no, way? No. Here, you, for some reason, they understood.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why here?
But it's the same thing as Rashi. Well, Rashi's the same
shot. Normally, numerous times you can learn out a lot of Limud.
But not over here if they're two very different. That was the Kash of the Menachas Ariel. To learn out, you know, you can't learn out. The Ritva thought I could learn out both things because they're really one package.
Right.
Rashi and Taisus seem to be saying there's two separate dinim. There's Mila B'Shabbos and Machshira Deich HaShabbos.
So the Machshirin are not part of the Yetzim Mitzvah itself?
That's the Chayyid of Machloikis Rishonim. Perhaps the Machloikis Rishonim between Rashi and the Ritva is how far do we take Machshira Kimila Richta Dami or not. That's what the Rishonim say over here. But let's get back.
The Machshirin is only a heter to do it?
No.
You've otherwise did the Machshirin beforehand?
Right.
Many times to Shabbos, I didn't take care of
it. Right, so according
to that side, am I older than or I just don't have the benefit of using it?
I wouldn't be able to do the Mila if I didn't. Right. B'yayim HaShmini is a heter to do the actual cutting. But everything else, there's no heter for. But let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Now this Gemara is a real, wild, wild Gemara. Talk to Gemara like this. How do we know Mila's Deich HaShabbos? So again, it's not from the Pasuk. It's from Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Frekti Gemara, Meisvei. Minayin lepikuach nefesh Deich HaShabbos. How do we know Pikuach Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos? Everyone knows Pikuach Nefesh Deich HaShabbos. They used to say about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, they used to ask him, why are you so mekel on Shabbos? He says, not that I'm mekel on Shabbos, I'm machmer on Pikuach Nefesh. Reb Chaim was so machmer, he was so careful about people's lives. They say over from Rabbi Soloveitchik, he said, that's Pshat and Shalom Zachar. Where did the whole thing from Shalom Zachar come from? He says, because it used to be the mother, she just had a baby, so she was a chayla, so she allowed Mechal Shabbos for her. No one wanted to be the Shabbos guy, so the rabbi, we used to go to prove to the whole community that you're allowed. So the rabbi would go to her house and ask her, do you need the light on? Do you need this? So the rabbi used to walk. Everyone said, where's the rabbi go? So they follow the rabbi. So the whole community ended up following the rabbi to her house. And that's how Shalom Zachar came from. What so Zachar by Salvech. What?
What about
how? Yeah, and Echami, it feeds that. It doesn't explain where the beer and the chickpeas work their way in, but that's what they quote, the Shechta quotes from Salvation, such a pshat. But that was Reb Chaim's idea. Reb Chaim's whole life was, you have to look at human life. It's more than that. It's not just Shabbos, you have to look at human life. So we all know this principle is Pikuach Nefesh Deich HaShabbos. How do we know it from? So we all know the simple reason. The Gemara in Yuma says, Peyam Ebeis, that what, V'chai Behem, last week's parasha. Even though if you looked at Rashi in last week's parasha, when Rashi says V'chai Behem, he does not say that Rashi says it's referring to Olam Haba. Rashi does not comment that it's referring to the pasuk of Bimachal Shabbos. That's the Gemara Barichos and Yuma Pehem Abez, which we will believe never get involved in over here. But let's see what the Gemara says. Listen to this Gemara. How do you know Pikuach Nefesh Deich HaShabbos? Rebbe Eliezer ben Azayi Omer Ma mila she achas me'evariv shel adam da'iches Shabbos. If milas only takes place in one body part of a person, and that's da'iches Shabbos, kavachoyme lepikuach nefesh da'iches Shabbos. Wow. Of the kavachoymes that we've heard of before, this one's a doozy. So let's just get it out. What does the Gemara say? That we learn from a kavachoyme that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save someone's life, because we're mechal Shabbos to do a mila. But again, look carefully at the words of the Gemara. The point of it is part of the Kavach HaYomer is how many body parts are involved. Mila is only one. Ma'asheki Pivach HaNefesh is the whole life. Guy has a heart attack, so nothing's working. So you bring back his heart, and everything starts to work. All his bones, all his Evarim start to function again. So what's the Kavach HaYomer is? If you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for only one body part, Kolshken, you're allowed to violate the Shabbos to get all the body parts up and functioning. That's what seems to be the words of the Gemara. So now,
maybe it violates the rule of Dayo.
There's a lot of cash.
And also, there's the pasuk for that. How do you learn out of Kavach HaYomer? That you learn out of the pasuk if you don't learn Kavach HaYomer Shemit Sinai.
Oh, so that you can, that's okay. You can make a Kavach HaYomer from something that's learned in a pasuk.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. The problem is there's something flawed about this Kavach HaYomer, Rabbi Yisrael.
If we don't do the bris, the baby's not going to die.
We're comparing apples to oranges over here. Mila is a mitzvah. Pikuach Nefesh is a mitzvah. Mitzvahs. We're comparing that from a lot of violated Shabbos to a mitzvah, a lot of violated Shabbos. Now again, obviously we want Jews to live. But is that a mitzvah? So that's what we're going to see. Perhaps three mahalchim in the Rishayim, how to understand this Gemara.
What's more than that? Why are you putting yourself into the
situation? It's right here. Okay, good. So we'll see. Perhaps Rashi and Yuma is addressing your kasha. But let's just finish the Gemara.
What if somebody has two body parts that are in Sakhan? Then according to this kalucham, you could be there for Shabbos. Even it's not the
kufnafish. I mean, if just it says Sakhan is Avery, you mean? Yeah, so you probably can. That's a question. So again, we have to first develop how this Kavach HaYomer is going to work, and we'll see in a second. It's quite a discussion in the Rishayim, and it does spill over into very important halacha l'maaseh tikkashayos as well from the Achren with Kveger and the Beis Meir. Hopefully, we'll get to it next week. Blinader. So what's the Gemara? Let's just get the Gemara down. We got to digest the Gemara first. Says the Gemara, if Mila's Deiches Shabbos, and it's only one body part, so Koshkin, I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for many body parts. So, frankly, Gemara, Visaka died the Halacha, but if the whole meal of the Shabbos is learned from Halacha Mishim Sinai, Kavachim, Halacha Miyasye, you're not allowed to learn out Kavachim on Halacha Mishim Sinai. So that's a rule that you can't do. Fatani, we learned in the Braisa, Omalay Rabbi Yezib and Azariah Akiva, Etzem Kisaira Mitame, Halacha. The fact that an Etzem, bone, the shear of a Sa'ira, is Mitame on Nazir, that's Halacha Mishim Sinai. Urevi is Dam, and let's say a nozer would come in contact with the revius of dam, so kavachoymer. I learned from a kavachoymer that a nozer would become tamei from a kavachoymer of the fact that he becomes tamei if he comes in contact with an etzem the size of a soiru. Frakti gemara kavachoymer, bein donim kavachoymer malocha. You're not allowed to do that. So okay, Rashi is going to explain to us exactly the whole understanding over here. What's the case? But what we need to know is you're not allowed to learn out kavachaymers from halacha mishum sinai. So we're back to square one. If the whole meal of Shabbos is doyche is only from halacha mishum sinai, we would not be allowed to learn out this kavachaymer. There's another discussion. What about other yud gimel midas? Can I learn out other yud gimel midas from halacha mishum sinai? Let's say gzeirah shavah. Can I learn that from halacha mishum sinai? Or only kavachaymers are out? So kavachaymers are tricky. We have a rule, ein oinshim min adin. We never give punishments from kavachaymers. Why? Because kavachaymers can always be disproved. There can always be a pirch on them. Even though we didn't think of it initially, they can always perhaps be disproved at a later time. So the question is that only kavachaymers are different? Let's say you had a tzarashav, a gzereshav, a binyanov, right? All the 13 gilmidas of Rabbi Shmuel that we try to say every single day in the morning, right? Any one of those. Are those also not available to be learned from Halacha Mishum Sinai? Or is it only kavachaymer? So if you look in Rashi number 7, Rashi says this. Shahayi Rebbe Akiva don kavachaymer. Rebbe Akiva made up a kavachaymer. Minayin the revius dam hames shanoz megalech ala olo. If a revius dam from a dead body that a nozer came in contact in oil, tumas oil was in the same room, same tent, same building of that kavachaymer. It's from a kavachaymer. Why? Ma etzim kisoira. Just like the bone, if it's a shear of a soira, she'ene mitame be'oil. It's not mitame in regular oil. Nozer megalech al magoy. A nazir becomes tame by touching it, umasay by moving it. Revius dam shetimo ba'oil, but revius dam where it does have a kayach atumas oil. The chesiv akol nevesh meis lo yavoi. Ein oidin shenazir megalei chaleh. Shouldn't a nazir also become tame and have to do tiglachas based on coming in contact with that dam? That whole din of a bone is only halacha mishbisinai. She knows megaleach aleha. That the fact that a nose becomes tummy because of that is halacha mishbisinai. Or if he is dam atabaluma mimeno bekavachoymer, you want to learn out that from a kavachoymer. Ve'ein don kavachoymer mehalacha. This is important words. The nitna teresh abal peh lidresh beit gimel midus. Teresh abal peh is not. He doesn't mean Gemara. He means Halacha Mishmasina Teresh Abal Peh because it's not written down. That was not available for the Yud Gimel Midas. So the Pashtus of Rashi would sound like all Yud Gimel Midas, not just the Kal V'Chaymer. You wouldn't be able to learn out Gzeir Shava, Tzara Shava, Binyan Ova. Any of the Yud Gimel Midas would be out. Okay, maybe Bilina the next week we'll talk more about it. But let's talk about the Kal V'Chaymer for a second. That's what I want to get into today. The Kal V'Chaymer of the Gemara was that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos because Mila is Deicha Shabbos. And what's the Kal V'Chaymer? Mila only takes place in one body part, Kol Shekein in the entire body. Frek the Rajbo, Ikul Medik. Ma Kavachimer. What type of Kavachimer is this? Dilmoshani Milo, the Nichusole, you'd give him a brisis. Frek the Rajbo, I have a pich on the whole Kavachimer. We know Milo is a very special mitzvah. The Gemara said it on the top of the Aramid. The Gemara asked the pich, why can I learn other mitzvahs from Milo? The Gemara says, Milo is special. Because since it says 13 times it says the word bris, Milo is a different category. So Frek the Rajbo, that's your answer. Therefore, you can't learn out pikuach nefesh from Milo because Milo is special because it has Yudgimel Brises. Inami or Shemdik Ispu Karis Begadol. If a Gadol, which we'll talk about Blinedim more today, if a Gadol doesn't get himself a Bris Milo, he's going to violate, he's going to get Karis. You don't get Karis for other things. So who gives you the right to learn out pikuach nefesh from Milo? Tier 2 B'Taisvis, of course, B'Taisvis. The Hacha Hacha Pirusha. This is the way you have to read the Gemara. Uma milo she'enai elo l'kiyah mitzvah yechides be'ever echad me'evarv shel adam. Don't look at it, don't look so much about what it is, but look at it as a mitzvah element. If I'm allowed to do one mitzvah in one body part, kal v'choymer l'pikuach nefesh u'l'kiyim kol ha'mitzvahs, she'yishmar v'yaseh kol ha'mitzvahs. So Dr. Rashbi, you know what the svar of the Gemara is? The svar of the Gemara is about doing mitzvahs. If Hashem lets me violate the Torah to do one mitzvah, Hashem wouldn't want me to violate the Torah, so this person could do many mitzvahs. He could live a life full of mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma. Mechal one Shabbos to keep many more Shabbos. There's only one problem. This is Machlokes of Kiveg in the Beis Meir. Let's say the guy's not religious. He's not keeping one mitzvah. You know for sure this guy is not keeping one mitzvah. He is not changing. So that's a machlokes of Kiveg in the Beis Meir. Blinedo, hopefully next week we'll get into this. What do you do with that? Based on this Rashba and based on what the Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara says in Yuma, that the reason why we violate one Shabbos is so he can be able to keep more mitzvahs. What happens if it's not going to happen? So we'll have to get into that perhaps next week. But Zok the Rashba, the way you learn the Gemara is we're not so much focusing on the Maisa Mila, but really Mila is merely an example of a mitzvah. If the Torah permits you to violate the Shabbos to do one mitzvah, the logic would be that the Torah wants you to violate the Shabbos so a person can do many more mitzvahs. Now there's a very simple pirch on this Kavachimer as well. One is right now and one is in the future. I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos now so he can put on tefillin on Sunday. I'm talking about right now. Ba'achshav, right now on Shabbos, so I have the mitzvah of milas right here. So I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for this mitzvah. You're telling me I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos right now so he can do mitzvahs. So the answer is so he can do mitzvahs on Shabbos also. If I bring him back to life at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, he'll be able to make brachas and he'll be able to learn Torah. So that's the answer. The answer is I'm violating the Shabbos right now for not just for the mitzvahs in the future. I think it means even for the mitzvahs right now. It's both. So he can do many more mitzvahs today, tomorrow, for the rest of his life. That seems to be the pshat in the Rashi.
Well, if you hold the mitzvah only to be gemalt, so then by actually keeping him alive, you're being kind of that same mitzvah. In other words, I'm keeping him alive now, so
you can that mitzvah is continuing, right? Yeah. If you hold like that diak that we made, that every second you're gemalt, you have another mitzvah. That's a good point. There's still one problem with this pshat. It doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara. What does that do with how many body parts it is? It's not about body parts. It's about mitzvahs. So the Achrayim have a kasha. Still, why is it? Why is the Gemara talk about one body part and many? It's not about body parts. It's about mitzvahs. If you're allowed to violate Shabbos for one mitzvah, you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for many mitzvahs. That's not so much you have to say lefiza that the aver is just representation of mitzvahs.
Well, like in Kriyat Shema.
Like in Kriyat Shema,
well.
That's right. That's what you have. So they say over B'Shem Reb Chaim B'Lozhim, I say Nefesh Chaim, that every body part that we have is supposed to be used for the mitzvah. So this is just a fancy way of saying the mitzvah. The body part is really just symbolic of the mitzvah. That's what they say over. But it's still a shtickle ha'ara, why the Gemara focuses on that route. That's the way the Rashba learns. Well, it's interesting to note in the Rashba was the kashas that he had. What was his kashas? His kashas was he thought the Kal V'Chaymer was flawed. Why? Because Mila is unique, it's a special mitzvah. So, how did he still answer it? What's the teretz? Mila is still a special because it has karis. No other mitzvah carries karis. Well, I don't know what the teretz was. The kash of the Rashba was, I have a pirch on the Kal V'Chaymer because Mila is a special mitzvah versus other mitzvahs. What's his teretz? It's not. I'm not happy what the answer was. If the kasha of the Rashba was that Mila has a pircha because it has karis, so then what was the answer? The answer was focus on mitzvahs. But at the end of the day, it's still a mitzvah that's different. It's
so
still
that's when you, one mitzvah versus one mitzvah, then
the is that true? Wins. When you have one mitzvah versus the other, even though the one mitzvah carries karis and the one mitzvah is you give,
versus
that's included. And the other mitzvahs must also, right? That's the answer. You're going to have to say that the other mitzvahs also carry along these types of things, and therefore they're also significant. If you look in the Ritva, it seems to me that he had a different kasha, which is the way I would have asked the kasha. He asked this number 9. Hikshu b'taisvus. Uma kavachomer. V'chi mila mishom pikuach nefeshi. Is mila because of pikuach nefesh? What does he mean by that? But I think the Ritva means is that mila is a mitzvah. The Torah says you're allowed to violate to do mitzvahs. It doesn't say you're allowed to violate not for mitzvahs. So the Torah is going to say, what do you mean? V'chai behem is a mitzvah. Hikigufo. There's a mitzvah to keep people alive. So, but the Ritva seems to have been asked not like the Rashba. The Rashba was asking, Naniach, they're apples and oranges. One's a mitzvah and one's pikuach nefesh. But I have a different pircha. I have a pircha that there's something different about them. Says Ritva, I don't get the whole kal v'chomer. How are you comparing a mitzvah to pikuach nefesh? So what does he answer? He answers like the Rashba. V'yishloim edahar kamer. Umam mila shebishas sho'isik bo'is a mitzvah. Eini o'isik ela be'echad me'evaruv. Shalom, Kavachoime Pekuach Nefesh, Shaisik Becholivarov, Shayishma Shabbasas Harbe. So he goes like the Rashba, that violating one mitzvah to do other mitzvahs is a fair trade off, and therefore the Torah would allow it. The Taisir Rosh says Pashat. What's the Kavachoime? Shehu mitzvah, Hanehegat Becholivarov, Shalom, Mishu mitzvah, Lachios Nafsho, Kdichsevachayachimach. It's beautiful, says the Taisir Rosh. If Mila is a mitzvah, and keeping people alive is a mitzvah, it's very comparable. Brother's supposed to live again. That pasuk is not talking about physical, it's talking about financial. It means you have to make sure your brother can live and don't charge him ribbis and don't go hard on him. But we're assuming that your brother's supposed to live with you, which means you have to make sure he lives. So therefore, pikuach nefesh is also a mitzvah. So it's a very nice comparison.
He's running a kavachomer
on that pasuk. He's going that way. Now again, the fiza again, what's the 24 what's the many evarim? I guess you're bringing to life all those evarim, even though it's really one big mitzvah of bringing your brother to life. That's one mitzvah, so it's not so much, I guess, in every body part that is alive, you're fulfilling v'chayach yichimach. These are the easier part of the Rishayna. Comes along Rashi in Yumadav Peheyam at Beis, and listen to this Rashi. So Rashi, Uma milo shi tikun echad me'evarv shaladam da'echad shabbos, lefi shechayovin olea karei salach hazman. Zogt Rashi in Yuma, the way the Achareinim explain it, it's not about mitzvahs. It's pikuach nefesh. Doing a meal on Shabbos is pikuach nefesh. Because if you don't do a meal, someone's going to die. People die when meal doesn't happen. There's karis. So Zok Rashi, and just look at the end of it. The kach shenuya b'teisefta de Shabbos. Oh, okay, good. That's what we got to get to. But this is the Gevaldika teisefta. This is the teisefta, I believe it's in Perek, Tezayin of Mesach HaShabbos. Zok the teisefta. Do you know why meal is deich HaShabbos? Because it's dangerous. Ah, good. That's one kasha. What's the other kasha? Do it on Sunday. Do it on Sunday. There's no curries. Yeah.
Right? A baby, if he's supposed to be mild, and any second he's not after that, he's in danger.
Why?
Because he's not mild.
That's a spiritual danger. But we need a physical danger.
Why?
Because we're talking about pikuach nefesh. We want to compare apples and oranges. We want to make sure we're on the same playing field. But listen to this Rashi. Rashi's saying from the Tesefta, the reason why Milas Deicha Shabbos is not because there's Exeris HaKasa that the mitzvah, like the Rashba and the Ritva were learning, it's about mitzvahs. Mitzvahs and mitzvahs. So Rashi is not mitzvahs. It's dangerous. It's a danger not to give a baby a mila on the eighth day, and that's why it violates it. Oh, so if you see that you're allowed to give a mila on Shabbos because of danger, so you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for other dangers.
It's a danger.
What's
the danger? So he said, the lashon of the Rashi is because there's karis. Rashi says, "Lefish chayoven ala karis la'achazman." Because if you do, that's a gavaldik kasha. We'll see. That's Rashash's kasha. We'll see. Chatzkel Abramsky has this kasha, but let's see. That's what Rashi says, and that's the sefta.
That's the halachah. Without the halachah of Sinai, despite the risk of kares, we would not allow you to do risky hoshavs.
Perhaps
says you're allowed to, and then from there, so kavachor. The halachah of Sinai teaching me that I could violate Shabbos, even though I could avoid the kares by waiting till Sunday. Yet still, I'm allowed to violate Shabbos. So if someone's whole life is in danger.
Right, so you're saying that according to Rashi, the whole reason why Mila is Deicha Shabbos is not, the Halacha Mishnah is not megala to me how to look at mitzvahs. The Halacha Mishnah is merely just telling me how to look at life. Okay, that's the Deceptive's pshat. The Deceptive's way, it's fundamentally different than the Ritva and the Rashba. According to the Ritva and the Rashba, we were focusing on mitzvahs. According to Rashi, it's not doing mitzvahs. Forget spirituality. This is practical. A person is going to die if Mila doesn't take place. So if you see a person is going to die, so Kol Shekein, again, so here, so where's the Kol Shekein? because he says someone's going to get cursed.
Right.
The question is who and when. Oh, yeah, that's what we got to get to. I'm just telling you the words of Rashi. Now, according to Rashi, it's not so much a kavachomer, it's more like a hu adin. If I see him alive in Mechal Shabbos, so someone shouldn't die, so Koshe can't be alive in Mechal Shabbos, so someone else shouldn't die. I'm not sure it's not the kal and chomer. Where's the kal and where's the chomer? The fact that it's one body part doesn't really change, because the curse is the whole body.
And I'm listening to the curse. You can do if how about if you do it the next time?
Oh, that's the kash. That's
no, maybe that's the kal and chomer, that you don't have to do it today.
Okay. We'll see.
As opposed to someone who's dying, where if you don't act
now. Now he's going to die. Yeah.
Ronnie would like to ask a question.
No.
Need a press secretary here, yeah.
A deferred, the situation where there wasn't an immediate, as well, in other words, if Kares is future, and
right.
The future is all, forget about the Gadol issue,
right.
Then it would also be not necessarily an immediate issue that's facing life and death. I mean, in other words, could it be something that would be in the future as well?
Like the Pekuach Nefesh case, you mean?
I'm saying
the Mila. But Rashi says again, right, I'm reading Rashi. Rashi says, Vishachayov Malea Karis Lachazman. Because you're gonna get Karis Lachazman. So therefore what? It sounds like from Rashi that the Mila itself is justified under the premise of Pikuach Nefesh.
Correct. But I'm saying the Pikuach Nefesh then, could you suggest that?
Would it also have to be similar to that?
But then it could be later. No, let's say there was a medication if you take it's not gonna die tomorrow.
It depends how little you want to take Rashi. If you want to take Rashi, is Rashi's assuming that the Pekuach Nefesh is for the future, so the Mila is in the future, then it should come to the same thing, which is very strange. We don't assume that's what Pekuach Nefesh means, 100%.
The physical danger
is not to the baby. So let's see. So let's start with the Rashash. So the Rashash right away has a kasha on this Rashi. Reb Gifty used to say his favorite sefer was the Rashash. Because the Rashash was a Baal Bas. Rashash didn't have also a rabbinic position. He was regularly had a regular job. He was very wealthy, the Rashash. He helped printing, the Rashash helped print the Vilna Shas. That's why he has a commentary in the back. Because when they came, no, that's what they say. He helped the printing
of
the
Vilna.
He happened to have been a gifted. I'm saying he's a Chashav Yedosa. I don't mean Chashav to belittle the Rashash. But Gifty used to say it's his favorite Baal Bas to learn. That's what Gifty used to say. But the Rashash was in the back of the Vilna Shas because when they wanted to print the Vilna Shas, they needed money. They came to Rashash. The Rashash was a very wealthy Yid. He was extremely wealthy, so he helped support the Vilna Shas. But the Rashash was a very, very Chashav Yid. His commentary was learned in all the yeshivas. Everyone learns Rashash in the back of the Gemara. He always has Gevaldik Ha'aris on the Sugya.
Mm-hmm.
So here also, Zokter Rashash, he says, Mashma the time Mushim David Pekuach Nefesh. So first of all, the Rashash shed some light on what's going on in this Rashi. If you just read Rashi the way it is, you wouldn't understand what Rashi's talking about. So Dr. Rashash, no, you know what Rashi means? Rashi means it's Pekuach Nefesh. Not doing a Mila on Yom HaShmini is Pekuach Nefesh. That's the way the Rashash understood Rashi. That seems to be the words of the Tesefta. Then he starts with a bunch of kashas in Rashi. He says, V'kosho, HaKavuchayim Yishomer Kan Uma Mila. So he says, first of all, the kash is, what do you mean? Uma Mila She'echad Me'evarov. It has nothing to do with which body part it's in. That's not the point, like we mentioned earlier. V'gam, Einei Vadei Kolkach, She'im Yimo L'mochol Yom HaChvit, Yitagam Kim Yikaris. Dr. Rashash, what is Rashi talking about? Karis is only if he doesn't do anything. He'll do the bris tomorrow morning, Sunday. I'll have a big lavish bris and have bagels and it'll be okay. So what does Rashi mean? That's another kash. And if you skip to after the parentheses, there's a third kash. I was waiting for someone to ask me this kash. If this is the reason why Mila is Deicha Shabbos, so why do we all know Mila Shalei B'Zmanoi is not Deicha Shabbos? Why not? It's still Karis. What's the difference? So, in fact, Rashashi does not understand.
You can do it the next day.
But again, but that's the same kash. That's the same kash. But he's having the Rashashi's three kashes. Kash number one is doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara. Kash number two, why on earth is there kares? You can fix that tomorrow. Kash number three is if that's the reason, so even a Milu Shalei B'Zmanei should also be Deicha Shabbos, and we know Milu Shalei B'Zmanei is not Deicha Shabbos. Those are the three kashes of the Rashashi.
You said that really, some people hold that really the baby is.
Ah, good. That's right. The last year we had before we took a break from Pesach, we spoke about these possibilities that maybe Be'etzim, the child, has his chayvus. So if you look at Chatzkel Abramsky, Chatzkel Abramsky wrote a commentary on Tesefta. It's Gavaldik a Sefer. Chatzkel Abramsky wrote the Sefer when he was working 5 years labor in a Russian camp. It's amazing to think about this. He wrote this Sefer on Tesefta. We don't even learn Tesefta when we have the comfortability to learn it. He wrote this commentary when he was 5 years in a Russian work camp. And he wrote this commentary on the Tesefta. It's a fascinating idea behind his life. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky ended up living in London, became a dayan in London, and they say about Reb Chatzkel, I think Reb Yaakov said that Reb Chatzkel's, when he died, this was the end of the last real Rabbanish era. That was like the end of it. He was one of the last leading Rabbanim of the previous generation. But he wrote this commentary of Chazon Yecheskel while he was working in a labor camp in Russia in freezing cold. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky said about himself, he was never a healthy child, he always got sick. So, throughout, then when they took him to a Russian camp, So he knew he was going to get sick. So he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we daven, the Gemara says in Ksubis, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mitzinu mepachim. Tzinu mepachim is up to us. We can control temperature. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't control it. So I'm throwing it back to you. Now you're going to be in control of my cold and my heat. It's up to you. He said those 5 years, he never got sick once from a cold. And he wasn't a healthy kid. But he threw it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't be in control. They don't let me wear coats. So now you're going to be in control of the climate. So now you're in control. So you're going to take care of it. And Reb Chatzkel said those 5 years he was in that camp, he never ever got a cold. And the rest of his life, he always got sick. Because Bidei Shemayim, he has to put on another coat, put on a scarf. So Reb Chatzkel Abramsky wrote a commentary called Chazon Yecheskel. So in that commentary, Chazon Yecheskel, he goes on this Tesefta. Rashi told us it's a Tesefta. So Chazon Yecheskel asks a different kasha. He asks a kasha that everyone here is asking. He says, L'chayr kasha. Halimilo deche Shabbos, rak bekotim ben Shemenis Yomim. What type of milo is deche Shabbos? An 8-day-old baby. Vim ein nimel oz, ein chi of karis loyal ben. Who's going to get the karis? Where's the imminent danger? Rashi's telling you that there's an imminent danger to give the baby the milo today, because if you don't, someone's going to die. Who's going to die? Let's break this down. So we have an 8-day-old baby. Zoktim Chaskel Bramsky, the baby's 8 days old. He's definitely not getting cursed. Loyal Ben Shu Os Kotten. Loyal Av Shibita Rakim. It's to say, Dad never gets cursed. The curse is only going to be for the baby. Dad gets a patch for not doing a mitzvah saseh. Vimkin Eich Mashkachas Lahaidina Ditesefto Shiyitcha Mila Ben Shemenis Yom Mesa Shabbos Mishum Shle Ischaiv Alza Kurs. Bishlam, if you're talking about a 14-year-old kid who never got a bismil yet, so he's a violation of make him a little older, 20. Make him ready bar ancient. So then I hear, Perfective Chatzkel Bramsky, who exactly is going to get courage in this scenario? It's not the dad, it's not the father. So Imkain, what exactly is Pshan this Tesefta? So says of Chatzkel Bramsky, look at Rabbeinu Chanan al Yuma. Look at this Rabbeinu Chanan al Yuma, number 14. He said like this, the Gemara said that we read in Yuma that Pikuach Nefesh Deicha Shabbos, because we learn it out from Mila. He explains, Pirish. Shei echem evar pirish matzanu. We know shahamol hatinuk matziloi min amisa. When you give a baby a bismillah, you're saving him from imminent death. Where? May Eliezer benoy shel Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn enough from Eliezer, the son of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shemet says the pasuk vehi bederech b'malon vayivkish Hashem vayivakish amisa. Hashem want to kill him. Kill who? We all thought kills Moshe. Says Rabbeinu Chananel vayivakish Hashem amisa letinuk. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, Gavaldik Kepshah and the Pasuk. They wanted to kill Eliezer. Nation is Atzla Ima because his mom delayed. V'loi Mola Isoi. V'kivin Shehigisha Mola Isoi V'karu Chasandam. And since Eliezer's mother realized, Tzipora realized, she gave him the Brismila. But it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was on death row, so to say. It was the baby. V'etzilu min Amisa Shenem V'ayirav from Menu Pirish V'ayirav Choyli Amores Me'oisoi Min HaTinek. So says Rabbeinu Chananel, you see, that the baby is in jeopardy. Now this works out very nicely. I don't know. He wanted to kill it.
Yeah, but how could you kill him?
Okay. 1 second. I'm just telling you what Ben Chananel says. Now this works out a little bit with what we spoke about before Pesach. We brought raya from Rishonim that really the chi of Mila is on the baby. Now the baby can't do the Mila because it's 8 days old, but really it's his chiv that we kind of throw to his father. This sounds a little bit like this from this Rabbeinu Chananel, because it says the baby was in the chance of Misa. But it gets even better. Dr. Ben Chananel further, V'raminon tzula molav afilu b'shabes, k'dei lefdoise min ha-Misa. Uksiva orel zocha shel yimas psar lo sev nechus samalamid, shakot nispash ba'avoin ha'av, v'ha-godol ba'avoin atzmoi, u'shneyim b'chi of Misa. So the Ben Chananel both are on the line. Dad and the baby. Zeu tam shebeliezer ben Azariah. That's the sword of Eliezer ben Azariah that holds milas deicha Shabbos. You know why? Because everyone's going to get cursed. Dad and the baby. So Reb Chatzkel Bramsky says, okay, so I answered up my kasha with the Shver Rabbeinu Chananel. What's the answer? What do you mean? Didn't we just prove that no one gets cursed? So Reb Chatzkel Bramsky says that maybe you're going to have to say that there's a difference between chi of misa and curse. It doesn't mean practically, but it means there's, you know, something hanging over their head that there's some eschaivus. It's very shver. To learn like this by Chananel is very difficult. Yeah.
Ben Chananel is understanding the pasuk that before the Torah there was a chi of karis.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Before there was even a tziva, both would be in violation of karis, dad and the baby. The problem is, again, it's not a kasha.
Karis, wasn't Rashi, this speaks Rashi what karis means?
The dairis.
The kid.
It means Ladiris, right? That's what Rashi says. I guess.
Ben Chananel, it's on the baby. It's on the father.
Automatically.
According to Ben Chananel, how did the Gemara learn out the Kalbachomer from Pikuach Nefesh then? Milas Deicha Shabbos, because you have two deaths.
That's a good question. That's a good question. If you assume like that, so you have a fair pircha, there's not just one person dying. Pikuach Nefesh, one person dies. Right. There are many people die. That's a good question. That's a good question. I hear.
That's not
the
regular
pshat
that we learn in
the
pasuk.
No, definitely not.
Right?
No, that's but according
to this, Moshe was the one.
Yeah. Ben Chana learns.
Moshe was the one who made the decision. Not
that's right. And we spoke about that Gemara. We mentioned that Gemara in Darim a few weeks ago when Moshe Rabbeinu made that decision. What was he thinking? Did he make the right decision? Pikuach nefesh and other things. This Ben Chana is a gevaldik chiddush. Ben Chana thinks both were in violation. The truth is, it's connected to Rambam, which is fair. Ben Chana lived a lot before the Rambam. Ben Chana was one of the earliest Rishonim to put to writing. On the commentaries of the Gemara, was one of the earliest of the Rishonim. So Rambam writes in the Chasmila before it's not like this. Rambam writes in number 15, Milo mitzvah saseh shechayv nalei karis shenem ava oral zocha shelayim as b'sar alosoi v'nichos hanefesh shehim ha'amer u'mitzvah ala av lomos b'noi v'ala rav lomos avado v'ilibayis mitzvah kesef avu har av oi odin v'loi ma'alo you say, bitol mitzvah saseh. All the father does wrong if he never gives his kid a bris, he was mavatal mitzvah. The einai chayiv karis. There is no karis. Sheinah karis tuliyeh ela ba'oral atzma. So the oral, the baby gets karis. Not at 8 days. That was Chaskel Bramsi's kasha. You can't expect the baby in 8 days to get karis. Zogdra ben Echananel, yeah, he does. Maybe not practical karis, but there's some chi of misa. So this Rambam is meforish, not like the Chiddush of ben Echananel. Ben Echananel thought both are in violation of a karis. This Rambam is meforish that only the baby would be and not the dad himself.
This thing is that in fear that if we don't do it on the 8th day, everybody's there.
Don't forget. Maybe. But that's going to be a hard sell to justify.
How is this Averecha?
Doesn't fit into yeah, it's also not Eivir Recha. Same cash. I think so, yeah, the same cash. Now, there's another Shver Rashi that if you accept this Rashi, says Rameir Simcha Deir Samech, we can explain. There's a Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos talks about a story where a lady came to Rabbi Yochanan, where it was Yom Kippur Shechalias B'Shabbos. And what happened? She had one son that she gave a bris to, and the baby died. She had a second baby she gave a bris to, and the baby died. Now she has baby number three. And she has baby number three, and she says, she comes to Rabbi Yochanan, she says, what should I do with my baby? So Amalei Abaya Chazi the Kasharis is Surah Vesekanto. The Shaila of the Gemara over there is discussing when do you build like a Chazaka? Do you need 2 times? Do you need 3 times? How many times? So over here you had 2 babies that died Machmas Mila. Now you have baby number 3. They wanted to give the baby the bris on Yom Kippur Mishachalias B'Shabbos. So says Rashi is Surah Vesekanto Sheim Chazaka B'Shnei Pa'amim, because if you hold that Chazaka is built on 2 times, so it comes out that Hashlishi Nitan Litchais Mimeno, the third baby should be pushed away. Rashi, very funny lumbus. If this baby follows Chazaka, Chazaka says the last 2 babies died from Mila, so this baby can't take the Mila because it's a risk to the life. And therefore it's like Mila Shalei Bezmane. Why is that what it's compared to? Why is it like Mila Shalei Bezmane? And therefore it's like Mila Shalei Bezmane, and Mila Shalei Bezmane is not Deicha Shabbos. What does that have to do with anything?
We're not supposed to do the bris anyway.
So right. You're not supposed to do the bris because it's because you're the baby. Why is it like Mila Shalei Bezmane? And let's say Mila Shalei Bezmane was Deicha Shabbos. Then this baby would get a Mila today. What does Rashi mean? Says Rav Meir Simcha, this is Rashi Lishitasa.
This is
Rashi,
what? It's the spiritual. He's not even losing the spiritual.
Maybe. So says Rav Meir Simcha, Rashi is Lashitase. Because according to Rashi, why do we ever do a Mirz Mila on Shabbos? Because it's Pikuach Nefesh not to. But over here, Pikuach Nefesh tells you to go the other way. Normally, every bris on Shabbos is because if you don't do the bris on Shabbos, it's dangerous to the baby. But this case, the bris on Shabbos is good for dangerous for the baby. So then it becomes like a situation where today's not the day for the bris. It's like a Milu Shalab Ismani.
It's never a day.
What?
It's never going to be a day for
a bris. No, for this baby, the reason why.
No, never
exactly. So that's his argument. Why is Rashi called Mila Shalei Bezmane? It's not Deicha Shabbos because Mila Bezmane is only Deicha Shabbos because we say it's Sakana. Mila Shalei Bezmane for some reason is not a Sakana. But over here, for this baby goof for doing the Mila, is a Sakana.
Therefore, is deemed to have
that's right. Risk. Right, something like that. Something like that. Sure. So maybe next week we'll talk about it. David Pavarsky has a different shot, and we'll move on to see how this Machloikis Rashinim have a major impact on how I understand the din of Chilul Shabbos. Okay.
Go ahead.